Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, NoParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, we had a great day out street preaching. Many, many hours. I hope my voice holds up. I want to get back to Matthew 22 in our verse-by-verse study going through the book of Matthew. We left off at verse 33 last time. We're going to pick up at Matthew 22, starting with verse 34. You can go to NoParish.com. You can catch up at the verse by verse, catch up with this series. So let's get going. Matthew 22, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. All right, so notice that Jesus was able to silence his opposers. Why is that? Well, Jesus pulls out the word of God on them, uses the truth of the Holy Scriptures, and because they were being held to live to Torah, they were lawyers, scribes, Pharisees, it was hard for them to push back against the Holy Word of God. Yeah, unlike the modern pastors today and all these false teachers that I run into, they're constantly twisting, lying, ignoring, abrogating, flipping upside down the Holy Scriptures. The Pharisees couldn't do this. They couldn't do it easily. They had their way of twisting things, but Jesus used God's word on them, and they were speechless at the end of the confrontations because they had to be careful. Torah law was the standard, and they were trying to trick him and trap him in it. But you know what? When he pulled out the word of God, the Hebrews 4:12 sword, and they could not refute the word, they were speechless. Again, modern pastors are really good about twisting, lying. They're like jello. You can't nail them to the wall. The Pharisees had a little bit more standard holding to the word of God than today's corrupt modern pastors. We are in the last days of great deception, are we not? Verse 35. One of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, all right, so these men, this one a lawyer, they're trying to trick him. They're trying to find a way to get to use Jesus' words against him. That word tempt, parazo, it means to test or to prove out. So they're trying to prove out on Jesus. They're trying to test him. And they're trying to ask him questions like they asked about the paying taxes to Caesar to get him to incriminate himself. It's not going to work. He is the Creator. He knows their thoughts. He knows their ways. Verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? All right. So these false men thought they're going to get at Jesus. They're going to have him speak against Torah law somehow. And they ask him, which is the greatest commandment? As if some of the other commandments are not as great or as important. Or how can we trick him into saying something that will incriminate him? Jesus handles them perfectly as usual. Ready? Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. All right, so Jesus lays out a basic tenet of the faith of the Most High God, and that is to love God. All right, so in this answer, Jesus is quoting what they call the Shema prayer. It's from Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So Jesus is quoting for Deuteronomy. He often quoted the Old Testament. And so it teaches us, it tells us, it confirms that all of our efforts for God come from, should be rooted in our love for God. Love the Lord thy God the most, right? And Jesus modeled that perfectly for us in all of his ways, always loving God, always keeping his commandments, always doing the will of the Father. Yeah, that's a model for us, no matter what. Put the kingdom first over everything else. Love of God. And everything else filters down after that. Verse 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All right, so Jesus follows up the first great command with the second command to love your neighbor. You know, it makes sense, right? If we love God and we keep his commandments and we love our neighbor and we love God by keeping the commandments, we fulfill the law, don't we? Because we won't be sinning against God and we won't do our neighbor wrong. And he says, on these hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus is echoing again the Old Testament. Here's one, Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So Jesus, using the standard of the Torah law, rightly placing the word of God, love of God, and the neighbor, love of neighbor, right where it should be, showing these men the proper order and how to answer either well-meaning seekers or wicked men trying to trap you. Yeah, these men were clearly trying to trap our Lord and our Savior. Verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, I like this, I love this verse, Jesus decides to kind of go on the offensive versus answering their questions over and over. He goes at them with a question. And you know, I use this every once in a while in the street. If a mocker comes up to me and I perceive he's a mocker, I will ask him, are you a mocker? Is your question a mockery question? And they usually look at me and go, what? And it kind of sets them back a little bit because I'm asking them questions rather than waiting for them to pounce on me. So I learned that from Jesus. Jesus was a master at asking questions. And he asked them this question, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? All right, so Jesus, in his perfect wisdom, he's asking them a question that is going to set them up using Holy Scripture that they can't deny. Remember the modern pastors today, they twist it, they lie about it, they abrogate it, they bend it, they use it out of context. But the Pharisees and the lawyers can't do that because they know the Word of God well and everybody else does too. Very, very, very important here. All right? So let's see. He said to them, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? All right? Jesus here is setting them up because we know what Matthew 1:1 says. Jesus is from the line of David. They would have known this. They know all of this. Okay? They say unto him, the son of David. See, they know the answer. They answer it, and what do? They basically fall right into Jesus' trap. As clearly he's from the line of David, and then they are admitting what is the truth, and it's going to set them up for the next question that from Jesus that proves who he really is and puts them right in their place. Verse 43, he said unto them, how then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he son? Think about that. Jesus, he's quoting again from the Old Testament, Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at thy right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. That's what he was quoting from. So again, he's using Old Testament scripture when dealing with these suspect men that are trying to trap him. A note to ourselves, we should always use scripture to back up our arguments. Obviously, that's something very, very important to remember. Not just use our own words, our own logic, our own emotions, but use the holy word of God and base our case and our basis and our reasoning behind all of that. Amen? Amen. Jesus is making a clear case that he is the Lord. And he's above David per the inspired holy scriptures of God. What can these men of Torah say after that? What can they say? It's clear. He said, Lord, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at thy right hand. How can he be the son if he's Lord? Yeah. Jesus takes away their argument. Again, modern pastors, harder to stick them to the wall like jello because they can lie and twist and ignore. These guys had to be held to the Torah law. Okay? Very, very important. Or they would have been totally exposed. Yeah, you go against Torah, you could be stoned back then. They're trying to get at Jesus as undone by him using the holy word of God, proving who he was, refuting them in their evil wickedness, trying to trap them. Verse 46, and no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Yeah, why not? Well, because they couldn't use Torah against him. What are they going to do? Make stuff up? No. What are they going to do? Twist Torah? No. They'll be exposed even more doing that. They had to go silent. They had to stop their trickery. And all their attempts to stumble Jesus go in vain. They're wicked, conniving, evil men. This is the heart of those kind of men who have evil motives. And truth is not what they're seeking. So another lesson we can learn. When you're dealing with people, whether witnessing, preaching, whatever, when you're dealing with people and truth is not their motive, truth is not their goal, there's no hope in getting them the answer they need. All you can do is quote the Word of God, show them the truth. If someone's not a truth seeker, they're doomed in their own ignorance and their own sin and their own destruction. And the best you can do is lay seeds of truth that they will turn to and repent of their false ways and finally have eyes to see and ears to hear and repent and seek after that truth you've laid down for them. Jesus did it perfectly. I don't believe these men repented, sadly. And so we're going to leave it right there. Jesus, our Master, showing us how to handle these wicked men, using Holy Scripture, stating the case for who he was, quoting the Torah law, holding them to their own words that they lived by, Torah, not their words, God's word, that they lived by, Torah, and trying to stumble him. They end up looking foolish, weak, ineffectual, and you know what? It says, last point, it says they no more asked him any questions and never asked him anything more in public. You know what it reminds me of? John 3:19-21, where sin, the light has come, and sin, men love their sin, and they go into darkness because the light reproves them. That's what Jesus said. That's what happened to these Pharisees, these lawyers, these scribes, these Sadducees. Jesus Christ, the light and truth, refutes them. They got to run off into darkness and plot some other way to get at our Savior. The Word of God is so powerful. Stand on it, preach it, study it, live it, know it, saints of God. Seekers, surrender your life to the Word of God. Repent and obey the gospel. Hey, we're going to leave it right there. I hope you're enjoying this Matthew study. I got to go get some shut-eye, and hopefully we're going to go out and street preach again tomorrow. We love you all. Shoot us an email. Go to don'tperish.com. Check out all of our resources to help you in the faith. Till next time, may God be praised.